Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
Friday already, our second one this week, but this time the 29th of April. I'm Alicia Sikkim coming to you live from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg, standing in for Simon Brown. On the show today, Mia Kruger of Kruger International talks markets. We're also going to be stacking clicks up against Dis-Chem. While those retailers continue to push through double-digit earnings growth, more than just comfortably so, Karooooo's seen a drop in profits and earnings, but CEO Zach Calisto tells us why he thinks the company's strategy is still tracking nicely. Investors certainly convinced, if we go by share price movement yesterday, that share price 2.7% to the good by the finish. And with the brakes being slammed on a post-COVID recovery for vehicle manufacturers, Deloitte's Martin Davis takes us through whether vehicle manufacturers are shifting gears fast enough. The show brought to you by Standard. Visit standard.com to get in touch with their investment specialist. Standard Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Moving straight into a look at your markets now. Stateside, we had Wall Street finish green overnight, seeing a surge of buying in the tech space in particular. Tech leading the advance. We had the NASDAQ 3% to the good ahead of Apple and Amazon earnings being released today. The S&P 500 2.5% higher. Dow managing a close enough to 2% climb as well. The surge we're seeing despite, of course, this week's disappointing reading of GDP, which showed a surprise contraction in the first quarter stateside, falling 1.4%, well shy of the 1.1% annual growth rate expectations. Looking at Asian trade this morning, the Japanese markets closed for a holiday today, but closing sharply higher yesterday and in line with that tone that has been set. Shanghai trading 0.4% higher, the ASX in Sydney 0.7% to the good. Remember, with all that played out on the tech scene stateside, Asia Pacific tech stocks being eyed today as well. In the commodities corner, gold at $1,905 an ounce. We've got platinum trading at about $926 an ounce, and Brent moving higher to $107.38 a barrel. On the currency front, the rand just below that key psychological mark of 16 to the dollar. 15.99 is where we're at against the greenback. And when it comes to the local bourse, well, both the All Share and the Top 40 in the green yesterday, 1.8 and 1.9% higher respectively, gearing us up for a potentially green start today. Joining me now to take a closer look at the markets, Mia Kruger of Kruger International. Good morning, Kruger. Mia, thanks so much for joining us today. So I picked up some commentary earlier this week saying that when there's a 10 to 20% drop, the market tends to recoup losses in roughly 5 months, provided there's no recession. So are the markets inadvertently saying we aren't sitting on the cusp of a recession just yet?
Good morning, Alicia. Well, I think there are various views at this stage, especially due to the fact that we've seen a much higher inflation reading from the US, and we've heard from the Fed president that they will probably start raising rates by 50 basis points at the next meeting, which is basically next week. And the same thing in South Africa. We've seen the PPI come in yesterday at a much higher rate, the highest since we started measuring it in 2013, and just short of 12% increase there on the producer inflation, which most definitely will impact the consumer and the margins of our companies locally. So it all depends on how this plays out, really, and how the central banks and the Federal Reserves handle the increases in interest rates and what the effect of that will be on the economy. And it's really impossible to say. Despite that, we've seen really good strong earnings from the market in the US over this week. There have been a couple of misses, but still, these are strong earnings growth. Even Apple last night cautioning the market to a tougher time ahead due to the fact that they're still seeing supply constraints, but they still had a growth of just short of 10% year over year. Amazon, probably the weakest results we've seen in quite some time with the decrease over the last quarter. But still, these companies have been printing money over the last 2 years due to the fact that the American consumer has received so much backing and cash from the government, really.
Absolutely. Let's bring things to the local earnings scene, because you highlighted the fact that, you know, we've got PPI, for example, coming in higher than expected, just under 12%, and it starts to now elevate cost pressures. It's going to come to bear on margins. If you're a producer, a retailer, you're going to see that pressure come through. I mean, it was slightly evident in Clix's results yesterday, distribution costs increasing 8.4%. And yet in that retail space, Clix, you know, still managing to grow earnings nicely. It's hiked its dividend more than a quarter. It continues its expansion. So is this just a go-go stock on the back of a go-go strategy anyway?
Well, I think it really depends on the companies we are talking about. We are when you mention Clix, and they're very front of mind with their update. You know, they've been at quite a defensive positioning in many portfolios, despite the fact that they're very consumer focused. Their numbers made it very clear that the producer inflation is something that they are picking up on. It had a margin squeeze for the company, and we saw from their distribution business, which is not the retail side of Clix, and not perform as well as we'd expected to do, which really shows us that the consumer, when it comes to going to the hospital and to the bigger sort of distribution of the company, is still under pressure. They had a big push on their profitability from the vaccinations that they rolled out, and that brought a lot of people into the stores and a lot of retail selling, which has helped that side of the business nicely on. But I'd say it has been a slightly weaker update for me than what we saw from the trading update from Dis-Chem yesterday. Dis-Chem expecting their headline earnings and earnings per share to grow just short of 30% really over this time, which is the year to end at the end of February, which will report on now on the 23rd of May. And they've really had, it seems, a very successful introduction of some of the acquisitions that they've made, one of being Baby City, that they've now incorporated into the group. They've they've opened a clinic facility in the Baby City stores. And I was really surprised to read in the past 2 weeks that we see more than 900,000 babies born in South Africa every year, which is a substantial number. And that's really a market that they'll capitalize on from this position onward. So I think they've been very successful introducing that new acquisition into the business. And when I just have a look at the trading update, it seems like that will be evident in the margins as well.
Okay, let's leave it there, Mia. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this morning. That, of course, Mia Kruger of Kruger International.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So despite the drop in profits and earnings per share as it faced headwinds such as the COVID-19 pandemic and one-off costs, vehicle tracking and fleet management business Karoo has rewarded shareholders with a 60 US cents per share dividend at the full year mark. CEO Zach Callisto joining us now. Zach, thanks so much for your time this morning. So we had earnings per share decrease 3%, profits falling back 4.1%, and yes, excluding one-off costs, earnings per share growing 1%, but still, why the dividend when we're clearly not out the woods just yet? I mean, where you did also start to feel pressure, it's being exerted by customers leaving the platform due to financial constraints, and you experiencing that to an extent firsthand.
Good morning, Alicia. First of all, when we started the financial year, we had approximately 70 million rand in cash. As we currently stand now, given the new exchange rate of the US dollar to the rand, we have approximately 900 million rand in cash. Given the how cash generative we are with our business model, we will certainly be able to generate sufficient cash for this year's growth. And yes, we're still not out of the woods in terms of COVID. We believe it will be another 6 months or so before we back to normal, hopefully so. And because of that, we believe that, for us to be sitting on so much cash doesn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. We've also got a facility of R1 billion. We have other banks in Asia also wanting to give us facilities. So quite frankly, giving back 300 million rand to shareholders, and even that, it's half, 60% of the profit that we did make for the year. And it's less than the free cash flow that we generated in FY22 during COVID.
So still leaving you in a comfortable enough position to then aggressively start pursuing investment in faster growth in 2023, as you've been outlining?
Yeah, most definitely, Alicia.
Okay, talk us through then what you see fueling growth from here on out. And, home in for us on the global mobility software as a service platform focus here, because that's what you're targeting. So where exactly are you at in that strategy?
COVID's been clearly very difficult for us. It's created a lot of headwinds. But despite COVID, we still, during COVID, grew our business by 40%, which, in my opinion, is due to our strong management and our tight capital and discipline approach to running our business. And I certainly believe that we can start growing at faster pace than we did during COVID. The opportunity is clearly in South Africa, the rest of Africa, Asia, Europe, and I certainly believe our biggest opportunity in the long term is definitely Asia.
Give us a sense of the kind of market you're feeding into right now, with, of course, the digitalization agenda having gotten a whole lot louder, post this COVID experience.
Well, I think we started our business 16 years ago, very much a track and trace company. We then, in 2007, moved into fleet management, and today we're helping businesses really run the whole operations, right from their warehouses to their deliveries to their field workers. And we are more than just a fleet management company. In the last 2 years, we've invested a lot into R&D, into our platform. Our cloud has become much more comprehensive. And today we help our customers run their full spectrum of their operations on the ground. And we'll continue allocating capital to R&D and improving what we currently have built.
Yeah. How soon, Zach, before you start seeing earnings filter through and showing through on your bottom line and that earnings, as far as you're concerned? Because like you say, you've got supporting metrics. You've got the group growing your net subscribers 17%. You've got total revenue having increased 20%. At what point do you see that starting to show up quite evidently on the bottom line?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. If we start growing, then our margin expansion and our earnings would quickly increase substantially. If we grow at a very fast pace, it could even have a negative impact on our earnings as we allocate more capital today for our growth into the future. So it really is a product of how much are we investing for real growth into the long term. So it's not necessarily that if you've made better earnings in the bottom line, it's actually a better result. Could actually mean a weaker result. Mm. So it's all about how much have you grown, and compare that to your bottom line. In IFRS, a lot of the cost of acquiring customers are expensed up front, but those customers stay with you for many years to come. And a lot of those profits are seen into the future, and they're not always seen up front. Mm. So hence, a decrease in earnings could actually be a good result, provided that you are growing the business substantially. But given if we continue growing at this rate, we certainly believe we'll get earnings expansion and we'll increase our earnings in FY23 if we are unable to grow faster than we did in FY22. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yep, absolutely. Let's leave it there, Zach. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this morning. That, of course, CEO of Karoo, Zach Callister.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Let's get into some trend spotting now and analyze some of the key trends identified by the Deloitte Global Automotive Consumer Study and how they're likely to impact the South African marketplace. Martin Davis, who's Deloitte's Africa auto sector leader, joining me for that conversation. Thanks so much, Martin, for joining us bright and early this morning. So spotting trends matter, right? So we can glean some perspective, we can gain some foresight on where things are headed, and with interest rates rising and costs escalating front of mind for any consumer right now, where, oh, where is pricing heading? How much of an idea of that have you managed to get out of this study in particular?
Yeah, good morning, Alicia, and thank you for having me. Well, I think the South African consumer, as Zach was outlining in your previous conversation, is sort of squeezed between inflation from below and taxation from above. So the middle class under pressure, and of course, pricing is of all importance. The recent trend continues of very inflated pre-owned car prices, and also because of a relatively, what we see again in recent week, the last week or so, a undervalued, a less valued rand, pushing up prices on the import side of new vehicles. So I think for the next sort of year, perhaps the story of 2022 is the mega trend is large inflation at the global level. Mm. And that will continue in the car sector, be it pre-owned or new. And South African consumers, of course, will be under increased pressure when purchasing and maintaining running vehicles.
So within that scenario where we're looking at so many factors fueling inflation and that the big bugbear and growth still very much temperamental if it is going to come through, how are OEMs containing inflationary pressures on vehicle prices? I mean, are they managing to pull at levers that are proving to be effective enough to incentivize some demand in a slow to no growth economy?
It's tough. Ultimately, I think there's maybe a few factors to consider here. Firstly, of course, OEMs are providing more, should we say, more software applications in vehicles. It's no longer just about the hardware of the car. It's about the software that's offered with it. That's increasingly the trend. I think the second factor is it's not so much OEM's choice. It's market driven. So consumers are buying down. Mm. Typically, it's small hatchbacks and relatively small to medium-sized SUVs at the expense of the premium luxury brands. I think those are sort of the key issues to consider. And thirdly, I think it's ultimately, and this is where the interest rate cycle turn is, it will have a dramatic impact, is consumers are heavily leveraged, as you referred to. And what's the cost of capital, cost of finance? Are financial service providers providing innovative finance? Yes, to as much as they can in a relatively high interest in a rising interest rate environment. So all these factors together, I wouldn't use the phrase perfect storm, but it just talks to a situation where South African consumers are having to purchase vehicles at lower price points purely because of the state of the economy.
Martin, so were these cost parameters very much front and center? Is it far-fetched thinking about a South African consumer market that responds positively and quickly to the EV market? And let's not forget power supply constraints here that possibly add to the burden of venturing down this space anyway.
I don't think it's. I think there's a bit of an overreaction when it comes to the Eskom factor of power supply. I mean, most people, if we were to drive EVs en masse, it wouldn't be like a European type of scenario where, you know, people are trying to charge cars on sort of on street parking. Most people have, you know, would park in a garage at home or in a carport, wherever it may be, and quite easy to charge their vehicle, even with a 2-2.5 hour, whatever it may be, sort of load shedding type situation. The real challenge here is first lack of availability of product, and of course pricing. EVs are, you know, the average new car price in South Africa is roughly around 360,000-370,000 rand. The entry level price for an EV is approaching 600. So it's significantly above the price point where it needs to be. I think we may see OEMs starting to, maybe some new OEMs entering the market, not from a manufacturing perspective, but lease sale. Selling EVs in the local marketplace at a lower price point. But at the moment, I mean, you know, you mentioned our Deloitte Global Automotive Consumer Research. We found that South Africa is countering the trend in a very bad way. When we stood out as 84% of South African consumers still want to buy an internal combustion engine. That's the highest in the world across the 26 countries we surveyed. That compares to a South Korea of 37%. So there's this very strong dependence on a internal combustion engine. Only 2% of South African consumers actually wanted to buy an EV for their next vehicle. Sure. This is what we've just found. So, you know, there needs to be a – will it be regulatory-driven? Yeah. I think the government needs to incentivize, of course. Or will it be consumer-driven? At the moment, it's not consumer-driven. I think we'll see EVs at the upper luxury level come into play. And perhaps for intra-urban logistics courier companies. But for the mass market, far too premature.
Yeah. Well, we wait and see how this all plays itself out. It's an interesting playing field. Let's leave it there, Martin. Thanks so much for having joined us this morning. That, of course, Martin Davis, who's Deloitte's Africa Auto Sector Leader. And that's where we leave things with you for today. The show brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app at 6:30 a.m. The podcast is available just after 7. Thanks to the team for guiding me through this week and their support, my guests for their early morning contributions, and to you for listening. I'm Alicia Second. This is MoneyWeb Now. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.